It's almost 6:30 on Taking Care of Business on Rise FM. Zingisachira and Wandile Mazibugo nje basaqala ehleka wandile. Eh namuhla ne nemuntu longisukelo wakhuluma manga ngami yabo. And I feel like impact negatively so irreputation. Yeah, I mean, I just started asking myself, a lot of people must find themselves in these kind of situations, and it must be harmful. You know, reputation does somehow fall into the workspace. You know, ingakumosha ni my business dealings, in my opinion. So, yeah. I want to know: is it possible for you to get some sort of financial compensation if some? If you can prove which resulted in you suffering a financial loss.
Yeah.
So just to start off, what did, are you ready for the topic? Because it's going to get controversial.
No, it is a bit of a controversial topic, so to speak, especially with the advent of a lot of people using social media. I think in South Africa, I would have seen quite a lot of people actually saying, I'm going to sue you, you know? Definitely ready for this topic.
You see, I was ready. I even went to Google with defamation. Then I find out, because there are two types.
Yeah.
It's libel and slander.
Yeah.
So could you elaborate on the differences between the two?
Yeah, interesting. I mean, the culture of suing people, I think if you grew up watching Hollywood movies, you would see people actually saying, I'm going to sue you, you know. But in South Africa, it's more nuanced and it's not as
pronounced.
Not as popular, because a lot of people say a lot of things about you, and most South Africans usually just, you know, take it up the chin. Whereas in other countries, or if we take the US as an example, it is something that is common practice for somebody to sue you for those particular things. But I think to get back to your question, I mean, defamation of character by its very nature basically means that somebody has basically harmed you in some way. And the differences between a libel and also slander is that libel is basically a written statement, you know, so a statement that could have been made, let's say somebody posted a post online,
social media,
for instance, indicating, could be WhatsApp, could be social media, it could be Facebook, it could be Instagram, but anybody that would have posted that and it's made in writing, you know, while slander is more of a spoken defamation. So that person, it must have said something to you that could have possibly then harmed your reputation or said something that is false.
About you.
And obviously, with either type, the statement must obviously be published in some way, in a sense that, some third party, somebody must have
heard it, or read
that particular statement. So if it's the one for slander, then there must be somebody else that must have heard it, because then once the person has said it, then that person would have obviously impugned sort of your reputation as well. Obviously, what must happen with these particular statements, as things, and I think important for people to realize that it must be false. Okay? That statement must be false. And I say that because, I don't know if you remember, about a year ago, or 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, there was a case between the EFF and Trevor Manuel, where the EFF had sort of made statements, for instance, around the appointment of the new SARS commissioner, to say that he was appointed because of A, B, C, and D. And it went all the way up to the Supreme Court of Appeal, where judgment was handed down to say, look, what was said was clearly false. So that becomes a huge test in terms of suing for defamation. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the then Minister of Finance was suing that political party for about 500,000, if I'm not mistaken, when it came to that as well. So yeah, I think it becomes very important for you to understand that it must be false, and it must obviously then result in harm to your person. Like, that person would have harmed you in a certain way, and obviously then it leads to impugning your reputation or damaging your reputation as well.
So when is a statement deemed defamatory? So it has to be untrue, first of all.
Yeah.
Reached a third party somehow.
Yes, yes. And it must have obviously led to a harm in your definition as well.
So maybe one won't do business with me because what do you mean, George? According to this untrue statement.
100%. 100%. Because then it can obviously harm you in your ability to be able then to generate some kind of some kind of income or some kind of money. Because, you know, brand equity in itself, it's one of those things that are extremely intangible, Zingisa. And it's something that one cannot, clearly say you know, how much your brand is worth. But brand equity allows you, for instance, to be able to come up now. And I think also, I just want to also just place it, obviously, in a South African context, Zingisa, yeah, where there are three elements that must be present, especially when we speak about defamation. One is that there must be some kind of wrong that must have happened to you, which means that you had a good name and somebody has damaged your reputation as well.
Mm.
And obviously, it becomes extremely important that, especially in South African law, if you sue for defamation, the onus of proof is always on you that is claiming that act of defamation.
So you have to have proof.
You must have proof and you must submit that proof and obviously present it to say this was absolutely wrongful as well. The second one would be, what was the intention of that particular person if you look at defamation in a sense? So that person that's making the defamatory statements must then have had an intentional focus on damaging your reputation as well, be it by making those particular statements or comments.
Why in Kulmagab,
you know? And obviously the defendant then in that particular defamation claim must then raise a defense which proves that the element of something that was unlawful or the intention was not there. So that's the second part. And the third part is that there must be publication, like we spoke about earlier on. In a sense, we know whether it's somebody that heard it, if we're talking about something that is slander, or whether it's libel when we're talking about something that has been written in a particular statement as well. So it becomes very interesting to be able to juxtapose the two, because sometimes what usually happens is that we sort of rely on the American way of suing as opposed to the South African way of suing. And sometimes our laws can be slightly different.
Yeah. And for those of you who've just tuned in, it is Taking Care of Business on Rise FM, and we are discussing defamation and the financial ramifications thereof. And I think Lwandile has touched on, obviously, the financial aspect, and which is the most, okay, let me start this. Now, I think one of the most common negative consequences of a defamatory statement is harm on one's professional reputation, and I've said. How can we see something like this play out, maybe emsebenzini, or even for labanima business abo, and Joy Mr. Shidozi, you know, eventually it could possibly lead to financial loss. But emsebenzini, how does it impact you within the workspace?
And I think that's the worst one.
Yeah.
When it impacts you on your, on your professional reputation, you know. I'll make an example. If you, for instance, you know, a business person that is either selling a service or selling some goods, everything hinges on trust between you and your customers. And once somebody slanders you or somebody defames you in any way, it then suggests that you are slightly a dishonest person. And that obviously might then cause your clients or your customers to then say, look, I don't want to deal with Uzingisa because, you know, somebody said A, B, C, and D. And that obviously would lead then unfortunately, you losing possible income from that particular business. In another example, for instance, that one can look at is in a work environment. Again, the work environment speaks to your reputation. It speaks to your brand equity as a person who works in that particular environment as well. And somebody could possibly even send, something as simple as sending an email that is completely untrue about you. And that person has, you know, copied everybody. How many times does that happen to many people?
Yeah.
Where it's completely untrue and you can tell that it borders on that particular defamation as well. And that in itself then creates an impression with the people that are more senior to you to say, oh, well, this person might be this kind of person, so we can't consider them possibly maybe for a promotion at work.
Because
we can't possibly give them added responsibilities. Or this person cannot be trusted, you know. I've heard of cases where people are even say this person is not mentally stable, you know, the type of thing to be able then to perform these duties. So it's got huge implications for people. And I mean, you can imagine in a work situation, that kind of thing happening to you, you know, could have a detrimental effect, not only in that particular workplace where you work, but obviously in the industry itself, because people talk, don't they? So they interact with people outside your particular entity that you work for, a particular organization that you work for, and that in itself could possibly then hinder you from getting possible opportunities even outside the organization where you're at now.
Sure. You know, sometimes they think that it's a you know, something as simple as a rumor or go to kulume something and then kube naleyo chain. If someone wants to, anga isukumele lendo akho approve ukuthi imanga, and some action could then be taken, I guess. Now, moving on, looking at ways of addressing defamatory statements. What can you do, really? Because see the suing thing. How can we, in a South African context, pursue this?
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that you're trying to do, especially when somebody sort of damages your reputation or somebody defames you, is that whatever potential loss you're going to suffer as a result of that defamation, then you need to seek compensation for it, or what is commonly known in law as damages, now calculating those particular damages becomes the sort of difficult part. I mean, I've seen people, especially even in South Africa, suing for 3 million, some people suing for 10 million, the standard one that I've seen most of the time that's popular is 500,000. I don't know why in a South African context, but you must be able then to prove that whatever's happened to you has made you suffer a loss so great that it's possibly close to that figure. Of if you're choosing 1 million or if you're choosing 3 million, it's close to that particular figure. And it's obviously now damaged you so badly that it possibly could have damaged you even for future earnings. So that's what you're looking for there.
I want to throw a spanner into this concept. So the logical one, you're going to say maybe it damaged my reputation, therefore you can't be doing business. It's loss of income.
Yes. Done. Yeah.
In a situation whereby Leo slander has caused you pain and suffering.
Yes.
Maybe so to lagala so vagashabo akiso or whatever it may be because of this. Can you still pursue a defamation case?
Yeah, no, definitely. And in fact, that's what people obviously cite in these defamation cases as well. And the person might then say, I've suffered irreparable pain and suffering from this particular slander as well. And obviously, if the person's then able then to then say, because it's that case, then it speaks to what we also term as what we call personal injury, where you are, one, able to claim for damages, and two, able to claim for medical bills and lost income because of that pain and suffering that you've suffered as well. Because remember, when you've suffered the pain and suffering, you might possibly seek some kind of a medical remedy from some kind of hospital. And in that, you could have possibly paid a certain amount of money that would have come through from that as well. And that obviously then goes into the realm of your personal injury as well. So it becomes extremely important for you to be able to do that. And I think also important, so that we make it easier for people to be able to understand is obviously what would constitute your pain and suffering. Now, one, it would be, physical pain, obviously, that has been caused by that particular incident, if there was any kind of physical injury that came through that. Mental anguish, because that becomes important. We downplay mental stability quite a lot in this country.
The heckling, the side eyes, the murmurs,
all those things, it can cause people sleepless nights. It can cause people anxiety.
Social anxiety.
There are other or even psychological effects that can come through from that kind of thing as well. So all those things would have to come into it. So obviously, those particular things require medical treatment, and they require you to be financially viable to be able to do those particular things as well. And those are some of the things that you can claim for, especially when you look at defamation.
All right. And just to wrap up your conversation here, Tune, you spoke of proof, and I think this is an important one. It's one thing, but proof is critical for you to even pursue this.
Yeah.
So what methods can one use to prove that there actually was, in fact, a case of defamation, whether it be reputational or financial or however the aftermath might be?
I think when we started the topic, we obviously spoke about the two types that you had, which is libel and slander. And obviously, with the first one, it becomes extremely easy for you to, because the person, it's written, it's there, you know. And obviously you can provide that particular proof and then obviously elaborate, I think, with the assistance of somebody who's a legal practitioner, a lawyer of some sort, who can then help you then craft that particular or file that particular suit as well for somebody who's defamed you. And obviously, you know, some people that have been defamed, especially in many cases, are people sometimes in the public eye that rely on the public being able to believe them. And once they're defamed, then it does have a detrimental effect with them as well. So obviously that becomes important. But also you might obviously need to maybe consider getting witnesses. You know, people that would have seen that written statement, you know, people that would have heard that defamation coming through to you as well. And obviously you might also need to provide, what is the impact that has come through to you? What is the impact of the defamation, for instance, is on your income, your economic standing. So you might also need then to maybe provide bank statements, you know, any kind of bills, accounting statements, or any kind of financial statements that could prove that as a result of this action from this particular person, these are the losses that I've suffered. So you might need to prove that one as well. And I think also with what we discussed earlier, earlier on with pain and suffering, you might need to then maybe get a medical professional that could possibly testify on your behalf to say, I've treated this person and these are some of the psychological effects that this person has suffered. And maybe you might even need to rope in your family, people that you live with as well. You know, if you're married, maybe your spouse who's noticed this particular behavior and how difficult it's been for you, and maybe your close friends as well, and who can then obviously tie it back to that particular incident to say, this is the kind of mental suffering that this person has actually suffered as well.
I appreciate la poandile, but I think a very important conversation, this one, because it's kind of listening and just one of the things you're doing, as you said, even at a very grassroots level. Umuntu esipaza sakho lapha bakhulumeka uthole ukuthi abasathengi bantu kulesipaza sakho. At least you can take some form of action. Nokuthi kuvele kuvale nje.
And uqinisile zingisa, because sometimes it ngetindo thina sithatha kancane. And it ngetindo tech affect. Yabona, and unawo lama remedies instead for yak allow ukuthi at least uthole some kind of remedy or ukhona ukuthi uchaze kahle inkantolo ukuthi umuntu lo ungilimade ngalendlela leso. And njoba ngilimadile ngicela shame angibadale.
And labanye bafunze from that lesson ukuthi nabo bangakusasa bangaqali kusasa nabo bakhulume into letingekho.
That's so choosing.
It is taking care of business on Rise FM.